We all have a story, and in Scripture, we see many stories from the Bible that help us know how to live our life better today. Let's study. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, and our study today goes to Genesis chapter 24, as Dr. Don's message is called Rebecca's Story. As we open the Word of God together, know that we're here for you. We're connecting online at tewonline.org. So many folks are asking about the book called The Bumps Are What You Climb On. Right now, more than ever, there are some bumps in the road, aren't there? And as we climb on those and watch God take us through that, this could be a great encouragement for you. You can get more information at our website, tewonline.org. It's also a place where you can discover more resources from Dr. Wilton that will help you grow in your life. Now let's open our hearts together and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. This is an amazing love story. Some of you will remember this is about I really believe that Isaac's mother kind of pampered him. I would love to be able to know all the background, but I would suspect that Sarah regarded Isaac as the apple of her eye. And he was her only son. We know the whole background and how that God gave to both Abraham and Sarah this boy, Isaac. There was a lot invested in him. And I often think about how that the Lord Jesus in his divine wisdom placed our little ones in the hands of moms and dads. But what kind of mom and dad are you? You know, I keep hearing stories about people who never tell their children that they love them. And things like that, which I struggle to understand that, the time that you and I spend with our children. Time is the most valuable thing that you can give to your children. A lot of very important things in life. The story of Rebecca brings a lot of this to bear upon us. I'm going to just touch some highlights. So when Abraham and Sarah got on in years, I think they sat up and said, you know, we've got a little problem on our hands. We've given our son everything, and we pamper him a lot. We dote on him. We think he's the best. He probably had several college degrees by then. He was obviously all the things we can say about him, but he had one little problem. He didn't have a wife. That's a serious problem, especially for Abraham and Isaac, because they knew that God had said that it would be through Isaac that Abraham would become the father of many nations. Hello, how's this going to happen? And so Abraham dispatches one of his servants to go back to where Abraham came from. Remember, Abraham was living in Cana, and he said, I'm not going to ask you to find my son a wife here. Now, by the way, I just want to say this to parents. My children have grown up and I love them all. I just want to let you know something. There's some things as parents that you will never do. You cannot tell your children who to marry. Doesn't work. Just telling you, you cannot force a marriage on your kids. You cannot tell your children where to live. Cannot tell them who to marry, and you cannot tell them where they're going to live. So start getting a life, some of you, because you will grow liverworts trying to. Some of you mothers are all but dating the boys that you want your daughters to marry. It doesn't work like that. He's got too many whatever it is that she doesn't like. You won't be able to tell your kids where to live. There's some things you can do, a lot of them. Watch this. I want to just pick up the story, verse 45 of Genesis chapter 24. So here's the servant of Abraham, and he has met Rebecca, and he's recounting the story. Before I'd finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water, and I said, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels something to drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put a ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. That was a tradition there. There were two traditions in the whole issue of marriage back then. One was to give gifts to the prospective bride-to-be. And secondly, the second gift had to do with the dowry that the bride brought with her from her father's house. And so I put the ring, then verse 48, I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, the servant said, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing has come from the Lord. People, listen, get God involved in the lives of your children. Some of you are doing everything to make sure that that doesn't happen. Verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go and let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord had spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth, to the Lord. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and gold and garments, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. And when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days, and after that she may go. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, let's call the young woman Rebekah and ask her. So they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And so they sent Rebekah, their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah. And they said to her, O sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who are hated by them. What a prophetic utterance, falling in line with God's plan. Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed this man, and thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now here's the part of this love story that I love. Now Isaac had returned from Beersheba Roy and was dwelling in the Negev, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and saw. Don't you just love that? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? He lifted up his eyes. For me, it was sitting in church on a balcony after I just got out the army. I lifted my eyes and I saw. Now, I could preach a whole message on that right now. There she was. She was down on the second to front row, knocked my socks off. I'm telling you, I turned into nothing. Listen, that preacher that day, it wouldn't have mattered if he didn't have an invitation. I was going down front. And I did. I went down front, and it wasn't to give my heart to Jesus. I hate to say that in the middle of my message. You girls have no idea what you do to us. Yeah, so where am I here? Now watch this, okay? He lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, there were camels coming. By the way, it wasn't the camels that got his attention. That's just a distraction. Camels are a distraction. They're just trying to get your mind off certain things. Now watch this. And he said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field? And the servant said, it's my master. So she took her veil, as was the custom, and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah. She became his wife. And I love this. And he loved her.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back in just a moment with the rest of today's message called Rebekah's Story. But you need to know that we're here for you, connecting online at tewonline.org, as well as on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to hear from you, love to connect with you. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don would love to hear how God's using this ministry in your life. You can email him simply by writing to Don, D-O-N, at teonline.org. You'll find that on our website as well. That's Don at teonline.org. We'd love to connect with you, hear how God's at work. And as a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that we will be praying with you and for you as you connect with us to share a prayer request through that email or on the phone at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton, Rebekah's Story.
You know, I think that when you talk about Rebekah's story, I think Isaac's birth was really the highlight of their life. Brought a lot of happiness. Isaac was a good son. He was dutiful and he was obedient and he was submissive and he was honoring. You know, if you go into later chapters like chapter 26, verse 24 and following, you know, we learn more and more about Isaac. He was unassuming. Isaac was not like his daddy. He was unassuming. We know from the scriptures he was very mild-mannered. He was meditative type of person. Some of you are married to men like that. Sometimes I sits and thinks, and other times I just sits. I think he fell into the latter category. He was not a quick thinker. We know that because of many of the things that he dealt with. It's kind of like you wanted to say, well, make a decision. And he finally got there, but he kind of thought a little bit too long. So he was quiet, he was reserved, but he had an amazing, steadfast faith. And he needed a wife. Back in their day, this is how they did it. I grew up in Africa. In tribal Africa, this is how they do it. Still do it to this day. And it's very interesting to me that Abraham, they lived in Cana, and Abraham said, you are not going to find my son a wife amongst these people. And the Bible tells us why. Because they were a vile people. They were immoral. They did not fear God. In fact, the Bible says they were cursed by God. Abraham knew they were doomed to destruction. And Abraham and Sarah, the parents, got together and said, we are not going to allow, we're not going to encourage, we're not going to lend ourselves to putting our son in a position where he might find a wife from among a vile pagan people. Unlike some of us, some of you, my beloved friends, you are sponsoring that exact thing with your sons and daughters. You're doing everything you can to make sure that your son, your daughter, spends the majority of their time among people and among friends who defy the name of God. Watch out. That's where they could find their husband, their wife. I'm a pastor, folks, and being very honest with you and very loving. Listen to your mother, young people. Friends are very important. I have people all the time say to me, should I absolutely insist that my children, my teenagers, be in church, go on prison ministries, go to Kentucky missions, get involved in camp, go on mission trips? Read my lips. Absolutely yes, as long as they are under your roof. You absolutely insist on it. Some of you are putting all your money, all your time, all your effort in promoting all the stuff out there that has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Watch out, your kids are going to find the person they're going to end up marrying in that same place. I didn't say people don't change, that God doesn't get a hold of people's hearts. I didn't say that. I've seen that happen 1,000,000,000 times over. But some of you parents are sponsoring your children, finding that young man in a place where alcohol, immorality, foul-mouthed conversation, demeaning of women takes place, and that's where you send your daughter. Say, why don't you go there? These are very important issues for us, my friends. And some parents, you need to take a stand. You need to stand up and be bold. And some of you young people need to listen to your mothers and your fathers. They are not saying what they say just because they're trying to be difficult. It's because they love you. You send your kids to the university in California in Berkeley, they most likely are going to come under that same influence. Don't get all heady and pie in the sky because you think it's wonderful that your kids travel across the universe to go to some pagan institution. Watch out. You'll reap what you sow. And then, 5 years later, here comes all the problems. The alcohol, the unfaithfulness, the immorality, the cheating on spouses. And your grandkids will end up growing up in that type of environment. And did I say that God doesn't intervene? Of course he does. So he said, I mean, it's an amazing thing. He said, look, we're living in this part of the world, but the people amongst whom we live are vile. They're pagan. They got no time for God. They don't see God in anything. All they're interested in is secular humanism. They believe that anything goes. As long as you like it, do it. God has no standards. God's not involved. He said, no, I want you to go all the way to North Mesopotamia, back to where I know those people fear God. Look what happened. Bible very clear, folks. Don't be unequally yoked. So what does this love story tell us? Well, it tells us a number of things. It tells us about a beautiful girl. Verse 15, 16. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly about Rebecca. Love verse 16, I didn't read it. She was very attractive in appearance. She was beautiful, vivacious. I'm telling you, she's one of those woman leaders. She was strong. I mean, God is raising up women in our community who are strong, who are leaders, mothers who are so determined, unafraid to speak up and speak out. She was vivacious, she was outgoing, friendly, unselfish, energetic. We know this even led to complications later on in her marriage. She was so determined to get her own way. You'll remember how that she bore Jacob and Esau and how they wrestled in her womb. Part of God's plan. God used a mother to march down God's plan. Jacob, the nation of Israel. Esau, the Edomites, who to this day are enemies. Can you imagine two brothers out of the same womb who produce two arch enemies? This is a story about a beautiful girl. It's about a God-inspired plan. God's all over this. I mean, right throughout Rebecca's story is God's plan. It's about a huge team effort, this love story. Incidentally, if you want to have a bit of fun like I have, go back and just start listing all the people that were involved in this Rebecca's story. Her brother, her sister, her uncle, her this. I mean, moms, dads, family members. Gosh, I mean, everybody came to the table. This was a big family affair. It was a huge team effort. By the way, God works through godly people. But it also is a story about a submissive heart. I really believe that this beautiful young lady, Rebecca, beautiful inside as she was outside, had a heart of submissiveness to her God. And I would say to her parents, that's pretty evident. Are you fighting with your mom and dad right now? Think about it. Don't do it. By the way, love your mama. She may not be here this time next year. Submissive heart. It was about a heartfelt blessing. That prayer of blessing that her brother and mother prayed over her, just amazing. A prayer of blessing. I love it. Love this prayer here. The prayer of 1,000 times 1,000. May just 1,000 times 1,000 of the blessings of God come upon you. May God just bestow His grace on you and through you and in your life. And this is really the story about a real love affair, isn't it? A couple of things I want to put a couple of things here as an exclamation point. What does it teach us? What do we learn from Rebecca's story? Number one, that God is the real matchmaker. Just think about that for a minute, because we do all kinds of things. You know, down to, you know, son, did you notice that young lady over there? You know, we all play our part. And some of you mothers are the best in the world. I mean, gosh, I got some friends who are classic matchmakers. It's great. It's wonderful. God's the real matchmaker. Number two, marriage is a huge decision. Big decision. Don't mess with marriage. If you mess with marriage, marriage will mess with you. Probably one of the biggest, most important decisions that will ever be made in your life, in the life of your children. Number three, God uses godly people. He does. Rebecca's story reiterates this over and again. Number four, God's plans are perfect. They're just perfect. You know, what more can we say than, you know, Lord, you know, can I tell you something? I mean, what right have I got to say this after all these years of being married to a beautiful lady myself? But I say this to people who are getting a little desperate or who feel like, or I say to them, I want to say to you, and I know it sounds easy for me to say, I would rather that you celebrate singleness, which is a wonderful celebration. That you celebrate singleness for the rest of your life, then get married to the wrong person. I'm telling you, honeymoons last for 7 days. I would rather you not find that person of your dreams if that person is not the person of your dreams. And if God's not involved. Because marriages, see, God's plans are just perfect. Number five, who you marry really matters. Really matters. It does. And finally, real love begins with God. Real love begins with God. You take God out of this whole issue. You take God out of the mother's heart. You take God out of the father's heart. You take God out of Rebecca's heart. Take God out of Isaac's heart. This whole love story doesn't make sense outside of the love of God. Do you know Him? Would you just bow your heads with me for a minute? I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads with me for just a second. I want to ask you today, young person, right there where you are, mom, dad, guest, friend, have you given your heart to Jesus? I'd like to help you right now. Right now, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Jesus right now. Now, I want you to know I'm going to pray a prayer. This prayer cannot save you. will not result in Jesus coming into your heart. No prayer will do that. But the Bible says, those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. If you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Our time is gone for today, but what powerful scripture, what a powerful truth from God's Word, that if we confess that Jesus is our Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. It's a simple statement of faith. Have you taken that statement of faith and made it more than a statement, but a way that you live your life? Have you embraced God with your heart, not just your head? Oh, I pray that you would take a moment and hear these next words from Dr. Don Wilton. It could be the most important few seconds of the day.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. You know, we would love to hear about that. Dr. Don would love to hear about it. Would you write him and tell him? Don at tewonline.org is the email address. That's D-O-N, Don, at tewonline.org. We would love to not only pray with you and for you, but also connect you with great resources Dr. Don has prepared just for you if you've given your life to Jesus or rededicated your life to Christ. You can also call us at 866-899-WORD. Jot that number down. It's available 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, and connect you with great resources like the book I mentioned earlier, The Bumps Are What You Climb On. Here's Liz with all the details on how you can get your copy.
Do you struggle with frustration, depression, disappointment, or loneliness? You can gain a new perspective to see your life and the lives of others through the lens of God. This month, for your gift of $25 or more per set to the Encouraging Word, you will receive two ministry resources, Dr. Wilton's Stirring Message, The Poured Out Believer, and the bonus book, The Bumps Are What You Climb On, by Warren Wiersbe. Both of these resources will help you gain strength to serve God faithfully, no matter what age you are or whatever your circumstance. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request The Poured Out Believer, available on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
What a great day it's been here at The Encouraging Word, and there's a grand one on the horizon tomorrow. Same time, we'll gather together around God's encouraging word, the Bible itself, and Dr. Don's going to be talking about the story of Stephen. Till then, know that we're available for you. Connecting online, keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org, or this phone number, 866-899-9673.